a warm round of applause. Come on down, Brother Johnson.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see us in the presence of God, you know, and it's good to see us, to see the beauty of God on us as well. What I want us to do now is probably, you know, to bow down our head, close our eyes, and let us pray. Yeah. Father, we come to your presence in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the day you have made, that you want us to be glad and rejoice in it. We want to bless you for our eyes that is able to see the glory of today. And we want to honor you for whom you are in our life and for bringing us together as a family. And Father, today we pray that you speak to us in your word, Lord. The Bible says the entrance of your word bring understanding, that as we go into your word this morning, there will be illumination in the name of Jesus. You will strengthen us to continue this journey. And we just invite you, Lord, to take your place in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for whom you are. Thank you, Lord, for what you can do. And we just pray, Lord, that we'll be able to humble our hearts this morning to receive from you, Lord. And now, as I'm going to be opening my mouth, I pray, Lord, that you fill it with your glory from above. In Jesus' name. Amen. Greetings from Cynthia and Jamama. They couldn't come to church this morning because Jamama wasn't well. And the doctor said it would be good for us to keep her at home. And that's the reason why, you know, they're not here, but I'm here to represent them. And again, I want to thank God this morning for giving me the opportunity, you know, to stand before you, children of God, you know, to share his word. And I just want to bless him, you know, for who he is in my life. It's a bit of battle out there, you know, in terms of keeping the track, you know, working with the Lord. But the Bible says with God, everything is impossible. And when we commit our ways into his hand, he's able to hold us and keep us. This morning, I'm going to be, like Paul has said, I'm going to be sharing Jesus, the Good Shepherd. We're going to look the benefits of the Good Shepherd. We're going to look the characteristics of the sheep. And then we're going to go to the conclusion. I'm not going to keep us too long because of the weather and because of the environment we are. I am currently studying housing management, and one of the modules to study is called housing law and how this applies to social housing in Britain. I remember during the study, we learned about the structure and operation of the British legal system, the role of the courts in deciding a case, and the role of the professional who works in the legal field. I remember our lecturer telling us that for a lawyer to win a case or to be popular, he or she must know how to manipulate the system and know certain terms and speak the right jargons. That's the point I want to pick out there. For a lawyer to be effective, for a lawyer to stand out, it be a solicitor, barrister, or whatever, you must know certain terms. You must know how to manipulate the system, the law itself, and you must know how to speak jargons. But this morning, amen, we've got the law of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the law of God. This is the whole law of God. And it's the law that full of, not jargon, but it's full of peace. It's full of joy. It's full of blessing. And it's full of hope. And that is what we're going to examine this morning. I've got this chapter here. This verse of the Bible. Like I said, the topic the topic I'm trying to speak about this morning is Jesus, you know, the Good Shepherd. I've got here John chapter 1, 1 to 4 said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men." But I come up with this interpretation. In the beginning was the shepherd, and the shepherd was with God, and the shepherd was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In the shepherd was life, and the life was the light of men. The reason why I choose this verse of the Bible is that I want us to know that without the Creator, there can be a creation. Without the Creator, there can be sheaves. And because there's Creator, there's a shepherd, and there's a sheep. I love the book of Genesis. I don't know, I believe a lot, many of us, we read Bible, but I love the book of Genesis. I don't know the reason why. It might be because of the name Genesis itself, because it said Genesis means the beginning. And it's like, if you want to read your Bible, if you want to summarize your Bible, just go from Genesis chapter 1 to chapter 3. The whole Bible is in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 to chapter 3. We can see in the beginning of everything in the book of, we can see the beginning of everything in the book of Genesis chapter 1 to 3. The first three chapters of the Bible summarize all the events that will take place in the rest of the Bible. Guess what? And in the world we live today, work begins in the book of Genesis chapter. I don't know, maybe on your spare time, study the book of Genesis chapter 1 to 3. Work that you and I will run up and down to today begins in the book of Genesis. Marriage begin in the book of Genesis, chapter 1 to 3. The family, vocation, business, all started in the book of Genesis, chapter 1 to 3. Faith, obedience, disobedience, the rise and fall of kingdom began in the book of Genesis, chapter 1 to 3. Worship, fellowship, and the church all started in the book of Genesis chapter 1 to 3. We see the beginning of sacrifice in the book of Genesis chapter 1 to chapter 3. We see the beginning of offering. We see the beginning of good and evil, fall of man and its consequences, blessing and curse, life and death. It's in the Genesis chapter 1 to chapter 3. Read your Bible. Amen. And we see the redemption and restoration of man in this same chapter. However, it is in this same chapter that we first see the shepherd, you know, our Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis chapter 3 verse 15 gave us the promise that Jesus Christ will be coming to shepherd us. And this morning, I just wanted to touch a bit, you know, of the benefits of the shepherd himself. And, I mean, if If any of us visit the land of Israel, they know the importance of shepherd, and they know the importance of sheep, because that is like their own vocation. That is just like their career. But here in England, we don't much know. But yeah, I mean, the point is that what I want us to do this morning is just to go through the benefits of the shepherd himself. You know, why is so important to us, you know, to look unto him as our shepherd? The first benefit I've got here is provision. Amen. The first benefit I've got here is provision. And I got that interpretation from New Living Translation website called Bookmark Movies. Psalm 23 it stands out in the Bible, in the passages of the Bible, when we're talking about Jesus, our shepherd. And this is the word of this is the word of David describing, you know, the role of the shepherd in the life of the sheep. Am I communicating? Yeah, this is David, King David said about the role of the shepherd in the life of the sheep. Psalm 23, verse 1 to the end said, "The Lord is my shepherd." I mean, through the translation that I got from the website, it said, "The Lord is my shepherd" means relationship. So, for the Lord to be your shepherd, like I said, for a shepherd to exist, there must be a sheep. And for a sheep to exist, there must be a shepherd. And it becomes relationship. And for Lord to be a shepherd, there must be a sheep. And for us to be a sheep, he must be our shepherd. And that is what the Bible, Psalm is trying to tell us. We see the Lord is my shepherd. It means relationship. You know, the relationship with God, with the sheep. I mean, with God, with the shepherd. It goes on, I shall not be in want. That is supply. And we know what it means, you know, not to be in want. You know, you want to have everything in place. You want to open your fridge. You want to open your fridge and find your food there. You want to tap into your account, you know, print the statement out and see that your money is regular. We don't want to be in need of job. We want to have job. We want to have good health. Couple of weeks back, we realized in our family that, you know, that God, that our health, you know, depends on God. And we just realized that, you know, even the health that we enjoy is from God. Not to mention money or to mention food or stuff like that or clothing, but the health we enjoy is from God. The psalm continues. "It makes me to lie down in a green pasture that is rest. It is only shepherd that can give the sheep rest." You can't give yourself rest, can you? No, but it is only God who can give us rest. "He led me beside quiet waters." That is refreshment, he said. That sounds like a cup of tea, cup of chocolate. Remember where we read, he said, in the beginning, he made everything just for us to enjoy. Yeah, a nice cup of wine, red wine, white wine. Yes, somebody started it. Amen. It goes on. He said, "He restored my souls." That is healings. Like the man of God said last week, the authority that we got here on earth is this body. And the area that enemy attacks us most is this body. He wants to paralyze this body. He wants to dysfunction the body. And when the body is dysfunctional, then you have no right to stay here. You have no right to stay here. And that is what he's trying to say, that he restored my soul. And he called it healing. He guided me in the path of righteousness. That is guidance. We need the guidance. Well, when we get to the characteristic of the sheep, we will see that we need we really need the guidance of God. And as we are here today, it is God who is guiding us. The Spirit of the Lord guide you at times. At times you dream. At times there's revelation for your life. At times you read the word of God, and there's guidance through all those means. And God is choosing all those means as well to guide us. At times it might be wife to husband, it might be friends to friends. You know, as we live together as a family, you know, the Spirit of the Lord guide us in one way or the other. For his name's sake, that is purpose. Even though I walk through the shadow of death, that is testing. As well, God tests us, isn't he? God tests us, you know, just to build us, you know, just to make us, just to create in us the spirit of resilience. I mean, we learned of Moses, you know, how God tested him before he become, you know, before the Lord used him to lead the people of Israel. We learned of Joseph, you know, through all those periods, God was testing Joseph. So that when he gets to that role, he's not gonna, you know, pay back evil with evil. It will be a nice man of God. It will be a real picture of God here on earth. And at times, as a sheep, the shepherd tests us. He tests us so that, you know, we can be mature in our relationship with him. He goes, I will fear no evil. And that one is protection. Protection is very, very important. Amen. Protection is very, very important. You know the people that will know the importance of protection will be the people that survived the bombing last 2 weeks. Not the people that, you know, they gave their life, you know, but the people that survived, that they were in that horror and they came out. They will know the importance of protection. Because I remember when the silence was going on, you know, somebody mentioned that, you know, that people should celebrate the life they've got, the life they live. You know, the people who have been there and come out and they didn't die, you know, they will surely know, you know, what protection is. I was watching the bombing at Turkey's yesterday, and there was this guy, he survived, and couple of minutes, he was just sitting down there shivering. He couldn't bring himself to understand that he survived that bombing. He was just shivering. People had a kind of, you know, gathering on him just to reassure him, but he was just sitting down there shivering. But what I'm trying to say is that the shepherd protects us. As a sheep, we can't protect ourselves. And we as children of God, we are sheep. You know, in the fold of our Lord Jesus Christ, but he is the one who protects us from all evil. Say, for you are with me. That is faithfulness. God is always faithful with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That is discipline. God disciplining us. The book of Hebrews said, Father disciplining those children that he loves. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That is hope. God give us hope. Even though enemy is torturing you, he still give you hope. And the interpretation of that verse is that if God can present you, and if you are under attack of the enemy and God is still presenting a table before you, now that means there's hope. That means you will overcome the enemy. The enemy will not overcome us. You are not my head with oil. That is consecration. My cup overflows. That is abundance. You surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. That is blessing. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That is security forever and ever. Forever. That is eternity with God. Another characteristic of the shepherd is this one. I got this one from the book of John. The book of John emphasized a little bit on, you know, he emphasized a little bit on the part of the shepherd in the life of the sheep. And in the book of John chapter 10 verse 14, he said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep knows me. Isn't it wonderful that God knows you? How many billions of people on earth? And when you're walking on the streets, God still knows you. Amen. And if Paul give me a test now and says, start naming all the people that sit down here. I can't name you all. I don't know you all. But God knows you. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you are awake. He knows when you are going to walk. He knows where you walk. I don't know where you walk. He knows how much you've got in your account. I don't know how much you've got in your account. He knows how many dresses you've got in your wardrobe. I don't know. He knows your taste. He knows what you like. He knows what you hate. The Bible goes to the extent that he knows the numbers of the ear in our head. But I don't know. But he said, the Bible says, the shepherd knows his sheep. He knows his sheep. He knows your difficulties. He knows what you're passing through. And he has a solution to that. And Psalm 100 verse 3 said, know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Amen. God knows you. As Jesus Christ said in the book of Matthew 12:11, Jesus said to them, if any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? Because he knows his sheep. He knows that he has got 2,000 sheep. He knows, Jesus Christ as a shepherd knows that he has got 2 million sheep. You are here. You only know the member of New Life. You don't know the you don't know the member of KICC. You don't know the members. You don't know the number of the people worshiping in Church of England, but Jesus knows all of them. Therefore, if anything happened to them, he knows how to rescue them. Therefore, if they pray, that is why they receive answer to their prayer. But you as a sheep, you don't know, but the shepherd knows where you lie. He knows where you go. And I pray God will continue to help us in Jesus' name. Another benefit of the shepherd is that he laid down his life for his sheep. He laid down his life for the sheep. John 10:11 said, I am a good shepherd. Jesus said, the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. Amen. We all will know that, it is through the work of redemption that make you and I to be here today. Jesus redeemed us from the curse of sin. Like I said, if you read the book of Genesis, chapter 1 to chapter 3, it will give you the clue. One thing we're missing as human, there's no way you can understand the way of man. The Bible says, even the way of cross is foolishness to the most wisest man in the world. So you can't understand the way of cross. The only thing you can do is to humble and accept the way of cross. If you want to challenge the way of cross, or you want to dig out, you can't. Who among us have seen God before? Have you seen God? No, you can't understand the way of God. That is what makes him to be God. What makes you to be the person you are is the inner man. Look, Barbara is sitting there. I don't know what she's thinking, but I can only see the figure out there. Paul is sitting there. I don't know what he's thinking. I can only see the man, looking at me, laughing. But I don't know what is in his heart. So you cannot. And number one thing is that you can't see God, and you don't see God. You have never seen God, and therefore you can't understand God. The only thing you can do is the opportunity God has given us to accept Him and follow Him, humble ourselves and obey. The Bible says Jesus laid down his life. You want to challenge that? No, he doesn't lay down his life. That's what the Bible says. And if you believe, the Bible says, if you believe, then you see my glory. I pray God will help us. And the book of Isaiah chapter 3 said, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, laid down his life for the sheep. And that is another benefit. I've got two more benefits. Yeah, I've got more, two more benefits. Because he laid down his life, the Bible says, He forgives our sin. 1 John 1 verse 9 said, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just, and will forgive us our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. Because he laid down his life, then there's access for us to the throne. You can come in and ask for forgiveness of sin. I can come in and ask for forgiveness of sin. I could imagine, I was sharing with my brother this morning, you know, like the people that they have one sickness or the other, and they said in 2 months' time or 3 months' time, they're going to die. You know, the good news is that they had they've given them that timing. And if you're not in relationship with God, then what's stopping you, you know, to make amends and just come to him and ask for forgiveness of sin? But for us, you know, we don't know any time that God can call us. God can call me tomorrow. He can call me in the next hour. He can call me in 40 years to come. I remember when I was celebrating my 40 years birthday this year, and my sister sent me an email from home and said she was happy for me, and she prayed for me that, you know, I might celebrate my 80 years. I thought, hey, I'm halfway. But what I'm trying to say is this. When we come to the throne of mercy, the Bible says we should always ask for the mercy of God. Always ask for forgiveness of sin. Never you think that you're perfect. Never you think that you're righteous. Never you think because you come into new life, you're sinless. The Bible says we should always ask for forgiveness of sin. When you pray, ask for forgiveness of sin. You never know. Maybe thoughts. But because the shepherd have laid his life, then he give us opportunity to ask for forgiveness of sin. And the last benefit is this, and we're counting down. And the last benefit is this one here, which is eternity. Eternity with good shepherd. Isn't it amazing? Amen. Isn't it amazing? I mean, we as Christians, or we the follower of Christ, we don't know, you know, the benefits and the glory that God has set ahead of us, the hope. I was listening, I mean, since all this event that have been happening around us, you know, the people that are bombing people all around, what is their hope? They hope that if they can fight and kill more people, then they go into the kingdom. And it's like people, but it's wrong. People are just brainwashing them. It is not true. You know, the motive why they were carrying out this attack is that, you know, if they can keep people, they have that mind that they're fighting for God. And if, the more they can stand in that gap, you know, and keep people, then they go into the kingdom of God. But it's not true. But to us as a Christian, look at the hope God has given us. This is the hope. What you need to do is accept him. After acceptance, that's it. You go into the kingdom. Listen, there's no perfect man. There's no righteous man. And that's the reason why the Bible says, ask for forgiveness. Daddy, I've sinned. Forgive me. Daddy, I've misbehaved. Forgive me. And Jesus Christ said, you know, if the earthly parents can forgive their children, how much more the Heavenly Father, he will forgive us of our sin. And the point is this, we've got a hope, we have a place to go. Amen. If maybe in 2 years time or 3 years time or 40 years time, like my sister has said, I'm no more here, I still hope one day I will see you. And that's the hope that we've got as a Christian. And the Bible said in the book of 1 Peter 5 verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. And I love this one. Revelation 7:17. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to spring of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. In the kingdom, there will be no more tears. Amen. Those are the benefits of the good shepherd. In the kingdom of God, no more tears. I never know, maybe I will still live with my family as a family in the kingdom. But in the kingdom, there will be fulfillment. You know, the dream, the hopes, the aspiration will come to pass in the kingdom of God. Therefore, you know, we need to hold on to the good shepherd. You know, and as we do that, you know, God will continue to bless us in Jesus' name. I've got here, before I conclude, I would like to mention some of the characteristics of the sheep. A sheep is a very beautiful animal, but depends totally on the shepherd. Some of us, we must have, even though we haven't been to Israel or Jerusalem, we must have seen sheep, isn't it? And very beautiful, very calming. very beautiful animal. When you ask sheep to stand here, it doesn't move, is it? A sheep is very beautiful animal, but depends totally on the shepherd. The shepherd takes the sheep to a place where they can feed. Even though you don't take your sheep out, it's gonna stay there and die of hunger. If you don't ask your sheep, I've got you. Now let's go to feed. Let me go and feed you. It's gonna stay there. It won't go out. If you said sheep, stay here, the sheep will stay there, die of hunger. It won't go to anywhere. So the shepherd takes the sheep to a place where they can feed. Sheep cannot move about to look for food like other animals do. Sheep are a defenseless animal. That is why they are totally dependent on the shepherd for security. As they are prone to the attack of wolves. Do you see how tiny wolf is? They can kill, they can destroy thousands of sheep. Because they're defenseless. And that's the reason why they seek security, you know, from the shepherd. Sheep are very clever. Sheep are not very clever. That is why you often see one little dog chasing 100 of them in the field. Isn't it? If you've been to a farm, you see only one dog chasing about 10,000 sheep. And they'll be... It's funny. Sheep are faithful, always obeying the shepherd. On the other hand, sheep are dirty. Sheep are timid, helpless, and miserable creature. They don't know how to come into the pen or come out of the rain. Even though when it is raining, you still see sheep standing there in the rain. We see all these qualities as weaknesses, but actually these are good qualities that make sheep stand out from other animals. For God to tell you to be like one of these animals should not hurt your feelings, because that is how he can be your shepherd and guide us in all our ways. These are the characteristics of the sheep. And for us to be Jesus' sheep, or let me say, for Jesus to be our shepherd, you have to be one of these, you have to have all these characters in you. You have to have this, you know, all this attitude, you know, in you. You must be able to count on Jesus Christ. You must be able to, you know, depend on him. You know, the people who live independent, those are the people that they can't accept Jesus Christ into their life. You have to depend on Jesus Christ for security, for all that you need in life. I'm going to conclude with this, some of the thoughts that I got from the men of God, from the website. There was this guy called David H. Roper. It called his own thought, the Shepherd's Psalm. I'm going to read. God wants us to be independently depend on him alone. Meaning, if the Lord is our shepherd, then we shall not want. But if I am in want, then it is obvious that the Lord is not my shepherd. If there's emptiness and loneliness and despair and frustration in our lives, then the Lord is not our shepherd. Or if anyone or anything else is shepherding us, we will never satisfy. If our vocations or businesses shepherd us, then there's restlessness and frustration in our lives. Then the Lord is not our shepherd. If education is our shepherd, then we are constantly being delusional. If pride, individualism, self-indulgence, friends, families, relative relationship is our shepherd, we are always disappointed and ultimately left hurt and empty. But if we allow the Lord to be our shepherd, King David said, we shall not want. Another thought from Greg Harris. God is a faithful shepherd. He provides for us without sparing a single detail. He guides us into righteous life for the sake of his own reputation. And he protects us not by shielding us from difficulties. God will not protect us from all difficulties. He still allows difficulties, you know, to make us strong. I just want to say one thing, you know. When I left home, I left my dad and mom and brothers and sisters, seven brothers and sisters behind, 1993. And when I left home with nothing. My uncle that lived in Greece that was helping me to come and study in Greece then, they just sent me half of the ticket money. So I have to work half of the ticket money, you know, to complete, because you have to buy through and fro, easy. So what I'm trying to say, when I left with nothing, with no family, I only left with small sack, you know, and I arrived in Greece. But because I made Jesus Christ my shepherd, that's why I'm still standing today. I left with no one penny. But look at the journey of 13 years. I'm 11 to 13 to 12 years now. How much do you think I'll spend? And like I said, I left with nothing, but, you know, now I'm having a family. You know, God has given me home. But it's because I've made Jesus Christ my shepherd. And what I'm trying to say is this. It's not about, you know, the earthly materials, but it's about, you know, where we're heading into. I mean, you've got house, you've got home, you've got family, you've got car, you've got job, nice career. But one day we're gonna leave all this thing behind. And that is then you're gonna be like me. Because then you leave everything behind and then you head into to where you don't know. Because when I left Nigeria in 1993, I don't know where. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where I'm gonna stay. I don't know maybe the land will be the type of land that's full of milk and honey. I just left with hope. I don't left with any aspiration in me. I just left with hope that God will see me through. And what I'm saying is this, time is gonna come that you will be in my shoe. Because we're gonna leave this earth one day and you will live with nothing. You know, you're close, the person that's so close to you as friends or relatives, you leave them behind. And then you're gonna be in my shoe, living with nothing, going ahead, hoping that, you know, it will result into good. And that is what all this author is trying to tell us this morning. Though he does at times but permits in our life only what is beneficial to us according to his good purpose for us. We need to trust him as our faithful shepherd. What I'm trying to say this morning is that God is our shepherd and we are the sheep, you know. And I pray God will help us in Jesus' name. I want to conclude with this. I want every one of us to... I love the word of God. I love the word of God. The Bible said, you're going to possess what you confess. And I would like us to confess it this morning. I know this psalm is not new to us, but what I want us to do this morning is to stand on our feet as children of God. You know what? There's authority, like the man of God said last week, on your own time, open your Bible and study the book of Genesis, chapter 1 to chapter 3. The authority God has given you is in chapter 1 to chapter 3 of Genesis, the dominion. And until when you realize all that, at times we walk around, we fool with fear. At times the nature intimidates us. Sickness intimidates us. But the authority God has given to us, and the Bible says, when you confess, you possess. And what is faith is all about? When you say you can do it, Paul Apostle said, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. When you confess, you possess. I have a lot to say, but I'm not going to. What we're going to do this one is just to read this psalm, and I will hand back to Nick. I'm going to spread the name of Jesus Christ. And at the end of the last letter, then we start to read. J E S U